Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about a group of friends that go venturing on a 3-day camping trip, a long, beautiful hike through nature. Unfortunately for them, and judging based off of the title itself of this story, you already know where this is heading. Now, let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I knew it was a mistake to let Joel lead us. I just didn't know how horrible a mistake it was, and how steep the cost would be. "We're lost, aren't we?" I said to Joel, who was turning the map upside down and then back again. "No, of course not," he said, flipping the map once more. "I know exactly where we are." The fact that he was dating my best friend was the only thing that kept me from ripping that map out of his hands. I was walking away in disgust before I said or did something I would regret. I went and found Marie sitting by the fire, talking to Trey. "Will you please tell your boyfriend that we're lost?" I said. "We're not lost. We just don't know exactly where we are," Marie said with a playful smile. "It's not funny," I said through gritted teeth. "Sure it is," Trey said. "Sit down here by the fire and chill out. The six of us haven't taken a trip together in how long? Enjoy it." "But we're lost," I said. "So what?" Trey said. "We just got camp set up. This is the first day of our trip. We have 3 more to go. Look, we'll find out where we are tomorrow," Marie said. "I promise." I looked at her with eyes full of doubt. "Yeah, you should enjoy yourself," Trey said. "Look around at all this beautiful nature. Kind of makes you feel insignificant, doesn't it?" I looked around at the trees that surrounded us on all sides. The only good thing about where we had camped was that it was on top of a small hill. So there was plenty to see, even if it was mostly treetops. "Nature can be dangerous," I said, sitting down and grabbing a stick. Marie shook her head. "That's my best friend, Little Miss Sunshine." I impaled a marshmallow with the end of my stick and dangled it over the flames, watching intently as they scorched the flesh, turning it dark brown. "I'm gonna need a graham cracker and a candy bar, stat," I said as Marie grinned at me. "That's more like it," Trey said, handing me the items. I carefully pulled the marshmallow off the stick in between the crackers and chocolate, setting the stick aside as I relished in devouring my treat. Jeannie appeared in the firelight as we burst into laughter.
"Did I miss something?" she said.
"You had to be here," Trey said.
"I was here," Jeannie said. "I was right over there setting up my tent while the rest of you lay around and wait for nightfall, then ask me to help you?"
She sat in a huff. I stuck a marshmallow on a stick and handed it to her. She took it and hovered it over the fire.
"Be careful," I said. "Don't let that stick go back in your ass."
Marie and Trey lost it and howled with laughter. Jeannie turned red and threw the stick in the fire, marshmallow and all, then stormed off. We watched her go.
"Huh," I said. "I guess she has another stick."
They roared with laughter again.
"What's so funny?" Soren said, sitting down on the log and eyeing the stick in the fire.
Trey looked at us and said, "You had to be there." Marie, Trey, and I exploded with laughter while Soren just stared at us, mystified.
"Okay," he said, then grabbed another stick and started roasting a marshmallow of his own.
"Hey, keep it down," Joel said, coming over and sitting down.
"Why, are we going to wake up the wildlife?" Marie said, punching his arm.
"We don't want to attract too much attention to ourselves," he said.
"Will the owls call the cops on us for disturbing the peace?"
Trey said, causing a round of snickers.
"I just don't want to draw the attention of anything bigger," Joel said.
I couldn't leave it go. I had to open my mouth.
"Like what, Joel?" I said, practically daring him to answer me.
"I don't know, like bigger," he said, keeping his eyes focused on the fire instead of mine.
"Like what, a deer? A bear?" I said.
He shrugged.
"Or a skinwalker."
Everyone around the fire showed some form of exasperation. Soren shook his head, Trey rolled his eyes, Marie put her face in her palm, and I just stared at him.
"Please tell me you don't actually believe in that crap," I said.
Still looking down, he shrugged his shoulders.
"Kinda, I guess," he said.
I was just about to tell him just how asinine he was, when from the fading light of the forest came the piercing sound of a woman's shriek. We each looked at each other as if to confirm we had all heard it.
"Was that Jeannie?" I said.
Instantly, we were all at our feet. We dashed over to Jeannie's tent, but she wasn't there. Trey produced a flashlight and shone it around the trees.
"Where did it come from?" he said.
I got my flashlight from my own pack and shone it around the same area as Trey.
"It seemed like it was coming in this direction," I said.
"No, it was over here," Joel said, pointing his light in the opposite direction.
I bit my tongue to keep the comment about his lack of direction to myself.
"Why don't you two go that way and Trey and I go this way?" I said, pointing at Joel and Marie.
"What should I do?" Soren said.
"Stay at the campsite in case she comes back and needs help," I said.
"What if I need help?" he said, looking around at the trees as though they had all become monsters.
I shrugged.
"Scream," I said, then disappeared into the forest with Trey.
There was still a sliver of light in the sky, but dusk was losing its fight against the oncoming darkness. We wove our way slowly through the trees. It seemed like it became darker the further we went, as if the trees themselves were sucking the light out of the air. Our flashlights fought a valiant battle against the dark, but they were merely pinpricks of light against the oppressive darkness.
"Jeannie!"
I called out, hearing only my own voice echo back. I suddenly became aware of how much noise we were making, tromping through the woods looking for our friend. Trey kept moving, silent and steady. He didn't seem to be making as much noise as me despite being nearly twice my size.
"Jeannie!"
I called again, getting no response.
"Hold on," Trey said, holding out his arm, forcing me to stop.
"Do you hear that?"
I listened, and at first I didn't hear anything, not even the animals that usually make noise at night. It was a little weird, and I didn't like it.
"I don't hear anything," I said.
"Listen," he said, holding up a finger to his mouth.
I fought down the anger of telling him again that I didn't hear anything when suddenly I did. It was faint, but I could hear.
"A river?"
He nodded.
"Do you think she would have gone down there?" I said.
I don't know, but I think we owe it to her to check it out, he said, starting off towards the sound of running water. We had been heading downhill the entire time, but before it was a gentle slope, where now it had gotten steeper. We had to hold onto the trees to keep from sliding all the way down to the river, bouncing off trees as we went. That was one activity.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I did want to check off for this camping trip. But then searching for a missing friend wasn't on my list either. We made it down to the river and found it was fast running. We made sure to keep away from the water so we wouldn't get swept away. If she fell in, she'd be halfway to the ocean by now, I said. But Trey didn't seem to hear me. He was frozen in place, eyes wide, staring across the river. What's wrong? I said, following his eyes when I caught sight of exactly what was wrong. On the other side of the river was something. It was hard to see, but it was some kind of animal. It was covered with light gray fur that seemed almost silver. It was big, at least as big as a bear, but leaner. It stood on its hind legs and had hands at the end of its arms. The claws and fangs were the real eye magnet. They looked like they were ready to tear us apart. It glared at us with the intensity of a hungry predator. You're seeing this, right? Trey whispered. You mean that thing that looks like it wants to make us a late-night snack? Yeah, that's it. Do you think Jeannie saw it too? I hadn't thought about that. I would be more worried about it seeing her. Yeah, I don't know. But I think we should go back to the camp. Yeah, he said, backing slowly away from the river and starting up the hill, trying to keep his eye on the creature the whole time. I tried the same thing, but after I slipped and fell, nearly sliding back down to the water, I decided I should pay attention to climbing. It was a lot harder than I thought, climbing back up that hill. By the time we made it back to the easier part, I was soaked in sweat and breathing hard. I looked over at Trey and found him breathing normal. You make me sick, I said through gasp of breath. He smiled. They make these things called gyms, you know. I gave him the finger as I doubled over trying to catch my breath. He chuckled. Maybe you could use your muscles to fight off that thing we saw if it follows us up the hill. He glanced back down the hill towards the river. Do you think it did? I have no idea, I said. Do you think we should tell the others? And fuel Joel's imagination? I said. Don't you think he would go in the full-on panic mode? You're probably right. He would want to pack up and leave. Which might not be a bad idea, but not without Jeannie. Agreed. We hiked the rest of the way up the hill in silence. At one point, we seemed to have lost our way. But turning off our flashlights revealed the glow of the fire off in the distance to the right. We followed it and came across the camp. But it was empty. We looked in the tents for Soren, but he was nowhere to be found. Just as we had finished searching, Joel bursted through the trees and into the firelight, breathing hard.
"What happened to you?" Trey said.
"Where's Marie?" I asked.
"We got separated and I tried to find her, but got turned around and ended up back here," he said.
I stepped over and grabbed his shirt, pulling him to me even though he was a good 6 inches taller than me.
"You lost her?" I said, barely keeping my cool.
"Well, not lost, just misplaced," he said.
"I'll misplace you," I said, drawing back my fist like I was going to punch him.
He recoiled and held his arm up to block the blow.
Just as I was about to swing, Marie stepped into the firelight.
"What's going on?"
she said, eyes wide at me about to beat the crap out of her boyfriend.
I let him go and turned to her.
"He said he lost you," I said.
"I actually said misplaced," he said, then cringed back, withering under my glare.
"And yet here I am, not lost," she said. "Did you find Jeannie?"
I shook my head.
"We didn't either," she said.
"What do we do?"
"I think it's obvious we're not going to find her in the dark," I said. "We should look in the morning."
"What about Soren?" Trey said.
"What about Soren?" Marie said.
"He's missing," Trey announced.
"We came back and he was gone," I said.
"We should go look for him," said Joel.
I turned on him and he took a half step back.
"I just said we should not search in the dark."
"Yeah, but that was for Jeannie."
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
"Is it any less dark now?" I said.
"No," Joel said, looking around.
"Then we shouldn't look for Soren either."
He opened his mouth as if to protest, but thought better and closed it.
"I suggest one of us stays up for a couple of hours while the others get some sleep," I said.
"Why?" Joel asked.
"Because," I floundered, not wanting to tell them about the creature because Joel would go into a full-on panic.
"We need to keep the fire going so they could find their way back."
Joel looked at me like a dog that had heard a strange noise.
"I agree," Marie said. "I'll stay up for a while and tend the fire."
Joel looked at her with a pleading look.
"And then I'll come to bed," she said.
"I'll relieve you in a couple of hours," Trey said.
"Then come wake me up after that," I said.
We all looked at Joel, but he had turned and stormed off into his tent in a huff.
I grinned at Marie.
Was someone looking forward to getting a little something this evening?
Her cheeks flushed.
"I don't know what you're talking about," she said, throwing her nose in the air.
"Now be gone from my sight and sleep the sleep of the dead."
I didn't dare react beyond a smile. I didn't want her to panic either. I shot a fake smile at her and turned to my tent, hoping that thing had stayed on its side of the river. I woke up to a dark tent. Panic flooded me as I saw a large silhouette reaching for me. I grabbed my flashlight and swung it at the creature, not knowing what I would do next.
"Ow!" it said.
"What the hell did you do that for?" I turned the light on to find Trey holding my wrist.
"Sorry, you scared me,"
I said, knowing that was a weak excuse.
"It's your turn to watch," he said, turning and leaving my tent.
I sighed. I would have to apologize again when he woke up. I hadn't changed out of my clothes, but decided I should take a sweatshirt with me to fend off the cold forest air. I stepped out and knew I had made the right decision. There was a chill on the breeze that made me hug myself as I stepped over and added another log to the fire. I watched the flames dance, allowing myself to be memorized and hoping I could stay awake until sunrise. As I sat in silence, I heard muffled conversation coming from Joel and Marie's tent. A few minutes later, it was replaced by soft moans. I smiled. Joe is getting what he wanted. As the intensity of the sounds increased, I found myself the slightest bit jealous. Not that I had any feelings for Joel, but I hadn't been in a relationship for a while, and that might be a nice way to relax on a camping trip. As I pondered these things, I heard rustling in the trees. My senses went on full red alert as I grabbed my flashlight and shone it where I thought the sound came from. The wind had died down to nearly nothing, and there were branches moving where I heard the noise. My light was having a hard time staying on one area. I was shaking so badly. What would I do? How would I protect my friends from this huge creature? I don't even know if anyone brought a gun or not, but all I had was a small pocket knife. Unfortunately, it was in my tent, and I was currently frozen in fear, rooted to the spot. I watched helplessly as this thing came closer. I could see the branches in the closest trees now moving. It was almost here. I held my breath, listening for it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Me growling, but only hearing the moans coming from the tent behind me. I finally forced myself to stand. If I was going to warn anyone or run away from this thing, I would have to be on my own feet. The light was shaking badly as the creature stepped out into the open, and I sucked in a breath of air in shock. Genie? She stumbled as I ran to her and caught her before she fell. Are you all right? I said as a reflex before I had a chance to look over her. I realized what a stupid question I had asked. Her clothes were ripped in several places, and there were patches of red soaked into them. What happened to you? I asked. She crumbled into my arms and I helped her back to her tent. She seemed exhausted, allowing me to support her weight as much as possible. She mumbled through ragged breaths, but I couldn't make out what she was saying. When I got her to her tent and laid her down into her sleeping bag, she sighed deeply. Her eyes were closed before I left. As I stepped out, I heard her mutter a single word. Soren. A chill ran down my spine. Did she mean Soren had done this? Or was Soren in trouble too? I stepped back into the cool air with a mixture of relief, puzzlement, and fear. Genie had returned, but Soren was still gone. What had Genie gone through? Was she attacked by the creature we saw? How did she get away from it? Did she see Soren? She wouldn't have known he was gone unless she had seen him. What was his deal anyway, to just up and vanish like that? I would have a lot of questions for Genie when she woke. I did a quick look around before sitting back down on the log. The nightly noises had resumed, but the tent behind me was silent. They must have finished their little rendezvous. I had a funny but terrifying thought. Who actually gets killed first in horror movies? The ones who have sex. I hoped, for all our sakes, that this trip didn't end up like a horror movie.
The rest of my watch went smoothly, unless you count me sitting bolt upright and nearly peeing myself every time I heard a rustle or a noise in the woods. When Marie came out of her tent in the morning looking all refreshed and glowing, I wanted to slap her. "How was your sleep?" I asked her, not really wanting to know the answer.
"It was peaceful,"
she sighed with contentment, completely missing my verbal jab. "Absolutely," I snorted with disgust as I yawned and stretched. "Okay, I'm going back to bed," I said. "Oh, and Jeannie came back last night."
"What?" she said. "What happened to her? Is she all right? Why did she roam off?"
"You don't know?" "She collapsed in my arms and I had to half carry her to her tent," I said, with a little more edge than I wanted. It wasn't time for 20 questions. She took a half step back. "Just wake me when she feels like talking," I said. "Until then, I'm going to sleep." I stepped past her, opened my tent, and collapsed onto my sleeping bag. I barely closed my eyes until someone was shaking me awake. "Leave me alone. I just lay down," I said, swatting them away like a fly. "That was 4 hours ago," Trey said. "Jeannie's awake and wants to talk to us." I reluctantly rolled over and looked at him. "It's seriously been 4 hours?" He nodded. "Fine," I said, struggling to my feet and stretching. We walked out to find the sun high in the sky, and Jeannie sitting on a log drinking some coffee. Joel and Marie were sitting beside her. I sat on the other side next to the smoldering fire. Trey stood as she lowered her cup to speak. "I was angry with the three of you," she said, looking at me, Trey, and Marie. "So I decided to go for a walk in the woods to cool off. I didn't really care about which direction I went. I just walked. Once I had cooled down and turned to come back, I must have gotten off track and couldn't find the camp. I wandered around for hours in the dark, desperately trying to find my way. I was thrilled when I bumped into Soren, but there was something wrong with him. He grinned at me in a way I had never seen him do, and then..." She started sobbing. Marie reached over and laid her hand on her shoulder. "Did he fall or get hurt?"
"No,"
Jeannie said. "He transformed." "I'm sorry," I said. "Transformed into what?" It was hard to see very well because it was dark, but he grew bigger, taller, and hairier. His arms and legs became longer and he grew claws. I glanced at Trey, who was standing as still as a stone, taking everything in. I clamped my mouth shut as Jeannie continued her story. "I didn't know what else to do but run," she said. "But no matter how far I ran, he caught up with me. Every time he caught me, he would slash at me." She pulled her shirt up enough to show slash marks on her belly, then her back and her arms. "I knew it was only a matter of time before he got me, so I tried to hide. I found an old tree that had fallen and dug into the dirt around its roots. I made a big enough hole to hide in and covered myself with leaves. He stalked back and forth in front of me a few times as I focused on being as still as possible. After a while, I heard my name being called, but I didn't dare respond." I looked at Trey, who still had not moved. "I fell asleep somehow, probably the adrenaline crash. When I woke, it was nearly light. I took my chance to find my way back to camp. Thank God I did before he got back." "Wow," Joel said. "Who would have thought Soren was..." "A monster?" Trey said, his face a mask of impassiveness.
"What do we do?" Marie asked. All eyes fell on her. "I mean, obviously he'll be back at some point," Marie said. Maybe he'll come back and try to pretend that nothing happened.
That's what I was thinking, Genie said. Try to catch us off guard.
But why pretend if he's this powerful monster? I said.
Animal instinct, Joel said, with a far-off look. Even the strongest predator doesn't dive right into the middle of a herd. They wait to pick off the weak and the stragglers. I stared at him for a long moment. It was the smartest thing I'd ever heard him say.
Did anyone bring a gun? Trey asked.
We all looked from one to the other. Slowly, Marie raised her hand. We all stared at her in shock.
What? We're in the woods, she said. You never know what you might run across.
Including a homicidal friend turned monster, Jeannie said, her eyes focused in the darkness as if her thoughts were miles away.
May we borrow your gun, Marie? Trey said.
Why?
I think from this moment on, we need to have someone keep watch at all times, Trey said. And that someone should be armed.
Marie hesitated, then went into her tent and returned a minute later holding a snub-nosed 38. She handed it to Trey, who opened the cylinder to make sure it was loaded, then closed it.
Who wants to take the first watch while everyone else packs up? Trey said.
Packs up? Joel said.
Do you want to wait until this thing hunts us down one by one and kills us all? Trey asked.
Joel looked around from eye to eye.
No, of course not, he said.
Then we need to leave.
There's just one problem, I said, glaring at Joel. We don't know where we are.
Trey shot a look at Joel, who immediately stared at the ground.
We'll deal with that when we have to, Trey said. In the meantime, let's get packed up.
Everyone hurried about the camp packing and gathering their belongings. Trey stood silent the entire time watching. When I was done, he gave me the gun while...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He packed. Before long, we were all ready to go. The only holdout was Soren's tent that stood undisturbed.
Do you think we should take his stuff home? Joel said.
Why? Jeannie said. He doesn't need it anymore.
Joel stared at her for a long moment, then shouldered his pack and helped Marie put hers on.
We grabbed a quick lunch before we doused the remains of the fire and started on our trek to find our way home. I just hoped we survived that long. I know that wasn't a very cheery thought, but something about this felt off. I couldn't put my finger on it. I guess having a friend you've known for years turn out to be a supernatural, homicidal creature will do that.
It was early afternoon when we finally set out. We unfortunately let Joel lead, hoping he could somehow get us unlost by remembering the way he had brought us here. 3 hours later, the clueless look in his eye made us switch and give the reins to Trey.
Okay, he said, looking over the map. It looks like we're here, so we'll at least have a day's walk to get back to the trailhead, if I'm reading this map right.
Joel snorted, but we all ignored it.
Should we take a bathroom break before we start again? I asked. Good idea, Trey said, looking at each of us. Where's Jeannie? I whipped around looking, but she wasn't there. I knew she was with us just 20 minutes ago. I ran back to the top of the hill we had just crested and looked all around. The hill gave me a good view of the way we had just come, but I couldn't see her. Vainly, I'd hoped she had just fallen behind and paused to take a breather, or she needed a bathroom break before the rest of us, but she was gone. The others came up behind me and looked, but we all seemed to come to the same conclusion. Again? I said. He's picking off the weakest of the herd, Joel said. Jeannie's not an animal, I growled. I know she's not, he backpedaled. I'm just saying that's the way predators work. What now? Marie asked. If we stay here, we're exposed. He could see us for miles and we'd have a hard time knowing when he's coming. Trey sighed deeply. I don't want to just leave without making sure she didn't just fall or something, he said. Joel and I will go back to the trail a little ways and see if we could find her. You two stay here, but keep a low profile. He handed Marie her gun. Just in case, he said. Joel looked like he wanted to do literally anything other than go search for Jeannie, but he reluctantly removed his pack, then kissed Marie and followed after Trey. Marie and I tried to settle our nerves with a little small talk, but the sounds of the forest had us constantly whipping around looking for noises and hoping none of them were Soren coming to kill us. As we waited, we heard rustling in the woods. Whatever it was big. Marie held out her gun at the ready, but I could see the barrel shaking. I can't say I blame her. My nerves were fried too. We stayed as still as possible, hoping he didn't notice us and would just move on. No such luck. Finally, the creature showed itself. We both sighed with relief to find it was a bear. Then realization hit us. It was a bear. Bears can kill people just as efficiently as Soren can. We focused on staying still as it lumbered up towards us and sniffing the air just a few feet away from us. It took another step closer, still sniffing. Marie pulled the gun up and aimed it at the bear. Don't, I whisper shouted. It'll just make him mad. She pointed the gun towards the sky and squeezed the trigger. The shot was deafening. My ears began ringing immediately. The bear didn't like that either. Fortunately, instead of swiping the gun out of Marie's hand, he turned and ran like he had been shot in the backside. Marie turned to me with a look of triumph. Good job, I said sarcastically. What? She said, holding her hand behind her ear. I said, never mind. Trey came running up the trail. Are you okay? He said, looking at me more than Marie. Yeah, Annie Oakley here just scared off a bear by firing a gun like an inch from my ear, I said. So I won't be hearing much for the rest of my life. What? Marie asked. Did you find her? I said to Trey. No, we didn't see any sign of her, Trey said. Where's Joel? Marie said. Just then, Joel appeared on the trail, walking slowly, obviously winded. He saw us looking at him and waved as he paused and bent over to catch his breath. He's never heard of a gym either, Trey said, nudging my shoulder. I was starting to think the next place we camped, I might invite Trey into my tent for a little relaxation like Marie and Joel had last night. Suddenly, the creature appeared behind Joel. It grabbed him and slashed his claws across his throat. Blood sprayed as the world went into slow motion. I could hear Marie screaming. I saw Trey grab to keep her from running to save Joel. I heard her fire off shot after shot, One of the shots hit the creature. Two of them hit Joel. I'll never forget the look of hurt and betrayal in his eyes as he saw Marie holding the gun just before his head slumped over. Marie stopped shooting. Her eyes grew wide as she realized what she had done. Her arms went limp to her sides and the gun fell to the ground. The rest of her wasn't far behind as she collapsed to the forest floor sobbing. Trey and I stared at each other in shock. It all happened so quickly it seemed unreal. When we looked back to where the creature and Joel had been, they were gone. The only thing left behind was a distraught Marie and Joel's blood sprayed all over the plants. I bent down to Marie, but there was no words of consolation that I could think of. There was no comfort to give. This thing was hunting us one at a time, and I had no doubt that we were next. I couldn't believe that just 2 days ago we all came stomping through the same patch of forest, laughing and carrying on, having a great time. And now, half our group was dead, and we were all that was left. I knew Soren wasn't dead. I had just seen him rip Joel's throat out, but he was dead to me. If I ever got a chance to end him, I would do it without hesitation. I started shaking and I couldn't stop. Trey reached over and pulled me into a hug. He held me until the shaking stopped. Then we both looked at Marie. She was laying on the ground, only half visible through the foliage, shaking. "Marie?" I said, not knowing what I would say next. She didn't look at me. Her eyes were locked on the spot where we had last seen Joel. I'm sure all she could see was his look of betrayal. As she laid there, I saw her blink for the first time since Joel had stepped out of the woods. Her eyes focused on something in front of her. I followed her gaze and saw the gun. Before I could react, she grabbed it, pressed it to her head, and pulled the trigger. "No!" I screamed as the gun clicked on a spent round. She squeezed the trigger over and over, but all it did was click like a toy. She threw it to the ground in disgust, then got up and started walking towards where we had seen Joel and Soren last. "Where are you going?" Trey said, starting after her. "I'm gonna find that thing and kill it," she said without breaking stride. "With what?" "My bare hands." Trey glanced back at me. I knew we had no choice but to follow her, even if it meant we were doomed to share the same fate as our friends. "How are you gonna do that?" Trey asked. Marie didn't respond, just pointed at the ground. I looked, and there was a trail of blood. Joel's blood. As we followed Marie and her possessed...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
State of vengeance. I justified risking my life with the knowledge that this thing would hunt us down anyway if we kept going the way we had been. It was only a matter of time. Maybe going on the offensive would give us a chance of surviving. That's what I told myself to keep from running the other way, screaming in terror. After a short walk, I noticed the blood trail had diminished. It was farther between now, and we had to struggle to find it. But it became a moot point when we stumbled across the cave. It was in a direct line from the last bit of blood we had seen. It made sense for this thing to hide in a cave. Not that it made me feel any more confident. We stopped about 50 yards away from it and crouched down so we wouldn't be seen as easily. "Now what?" Trey asked. Marie looked around, then picked up a large branch that had fallen. She held it like a club and said, we kill it?
As Trey and I searched for similar weapons, Marie marched straight towards the cave. We caught up with her as she entered the cave. I was expecting it to be dark, but there was some light source further in that I couldn't see yet. Even still, I pulled out my flashlight and turned it on. The cave was nothing special. Naturally rough formations of rock on the ceiling and floor. It was large enough for us to stand comfortably, but Trey had to duck a few inches. We stalked our way inside quietly, each of us holding our impromptu clubs at the ready. The further we went, the lighter the cave became. We finally found out why when we came to a roaring fire. There were strips of meat strung across sticks, leaning against each other over the fire. We didn't have to wonder long where the meat had come from. Over in the corner past the fire was a large pile of bones that had been stripped of all meat. I would love to say that the bones looked like they came from animals, but they didn't. There was a full human rib cage visible, as well as some femurs and other assorted bones. Some of them were broken, as if the creature had tormented them before killing them. As if the pile of human bones wasn't enough of a horrible discovery, besides them were two bodies. One was unmistakably Joel, but the other was so covered in blood and gore it was hard to identify. My first guess was it could only be Jeannie. Seeing our friends laying on a pile dead, waiting to be eaten, changed something within me. I wasn't afraid anymore. I knew what this thing could do, but I felt the rage building inside me. I knew I would fight to my final breath to make sure this thing never hunted again. As we stood there, I heard a footstep behind us. A half second later, Trey disappeared in a flash of fur. The creature had snuck up behind us and caught Trey off guard. I watched in horror as it twisted his neck around until his face could see his back. His body collapsed to the ground with a heavy thump. I stared at my friend in shock. He was our best hope of surviving this thing, and now he was gone. Marie screamed like a banshee and charged at it, swinging her club and connecting with its face. The creature turned and looked at her like it hadn't even felt it, then backhanded her, sending her flying against the wall. I charged, holding my club high in hopes to smash its head in. The creature grabbed my club in midair and lifted it up with me still holding on. It shook me loose and I landed on the floor hard, knocking the wind out of me. It squeezed the club with one hand and shattered it. Then it came over to me and stuck its face right next to mine. I could smell the stench of death coming from its mouth. It smiled, showing its horrible sharp red teeth as I laid there helplessly. "Finish it, Soren," I said through ragged gasps of air. The thing made a sound that sounded almost like a laugh. It stood and glared down at me, still wearing that grin. And then it began to change. The fur became somehow less and more pink skin appeared. It shrank in size like in reverse of every werewolf movie I had ever seen, until a naked human stood there. It was Jeannie. My jaw hung open. Her grin hadn't changed. It was still as taunting as before. "Why?" I said, still barely able to speak. She snorted like she was still in the beast's form. "You would have the audacity to ask me that?" she said. "Do you still not understand? Our friends." "No, your friends. I was always the odd one out, the last one called, the outcast, the laughingstock. Included you in everything."
"Did you really?
You didn't want to." "I didn't want to have friends that cared about me instead of just using me as a tag-along, an excuse."
"What happened to Soren?"
She walked over to the mangled body covered in blood and kicked it.
he saw me transform, she said. I was just going to give you all a fright you'd never forget, but then once he saw me, I had no choice.
Killed him because he saw you?
You don't understand. How could you? This has been passed through generations in my family. It is always regarded to as a secret honor of the highest level. No one could know about it. Those unlike us would stop at nothing to hunt us down and destroy us.
You deserve it.
She smiled, but I knew it wasn't a good thing. She held her hands out and I could see the hair starting to grow on them. I knew this was it. She was done talking. I was about to die. Her face turned from triumph to terror as a piece of broken bone poked out through the middle of her chest. She turned to find Soren shoving it through. He looked like a piece of meat animated. Her transformation became unstable. Her hands grew to enormous size, then shrank back to normal. Her head became covered with hair, then she went bald. She reached back, her bones sounded like they were breaking, and she pulled the bone out of her back. She whipped around and stabbed Soren in the neck with it. The transformation began again when Marie appeared and smashed her face with the club. Jeannie went down hard, smacking her face off the ground with a hollow thud. Marie grabbed the bone and stabbed her in the chest. She pulled the bone out and stabbed her again. Jeannie screamed as she tried to transform, but Marie's hands were a blur. She stabbed her face, chest, groin, everywhere she could see. She used the sharp end of the bone to impale it. As a last hope of survival, Jeannie reached up and grabbed Marie's neck. She slowly turned it until it was beyond what the vertebrae could take. I heard the first pop and Marie's vicious attack came to a halt. After the second and third, her body went limp and fell over on the floor. Jeannie looked over at me as I finally mustered the strength to stand. I picked up what was left of my club and dragged it over beside her. I could see new patches of fur growing. I raised my club and brought it down on her face. Strength returning to me as I raised the club again, smashing it into her face. Over and over again, I bashed her face until there was nothing left but a bloody pulp. The hair on her body faded as her life ebbed away. I wanted to say something clever and pointed that would make her realize the heinousness of what she had done, but I was too tired. My adrenaline crashed and I fell to the floor, exhausted. I woke up to darkness. The fire had burned down to only a few glowing embers. I felt around and found my flashlight. I turned it on and stood looking around the cave. Nothing had changed. Everyone but me was still dead. Even Soren's last desperate act to save us had been at the cost of his life. I shone my light on everybody and silently eulogized them. The last one I came to was Jeannie. The one thing I could think was why. Why not tell us? Why keep this thing that burned inside her a secret? I thought about it for a long moment and realized I probably wouldn't have told anyone.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
One either. I slowly made my way out of the cave. Fortunately, the sun had just risen. I stopped and stared at the wonder of nature. It didn't care that all my friends were dead. It didn't care if I lived or died. The sun would rise again tomorrow no matter what. I suddenly felt very small and insignificant. There was no celebrating. Survival had become a hollow victory. I followed the sun out of the forest to the trail that led to our cars. For the longest time, I sat in my car and thought, what do I tell the families of my dead friends? What could I tell them? I knew it was a mistake to let Joel lead us.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.